Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, how you doing out there? Episode number 18, post-Easter edition. Welcome to the show. My name's Tony Smith, alongside the professor, Brandon Crowd. How you doing, sir?
What's up, sir? How are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Excellent. How was your Easter?
It was good. Yeah, it was real good.
Very nice.
Nothing pretty easy. What about you?
Pretty low key with NASCAR by Marriage having the knee surgery there on Thursday. So we just did some barbecue and I made a trip out to the family real quick, and that was about it.
Barbecue? Any Easter bunnies?
No. We did cows. Easter cow.
The Easter cow. I've heard of him.
Yes.
Yeah. So hey, you know, we've been talking about it for the last couple weeks here.
Yes.
And roll right in. We get a special guest today.
We do have a special guest. Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening again, and thank you for being on the show from Twitter fame and NASCAR Chasm. You there?
Yes, I am. Prepare to be disappointed.
What is it? Low expectations result?
Those with low expectations are rarely disappointed.
Once people lower the bar significantly, that's when I thrive.
There you go.
That's
my wife says the same thing. No.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
Yeah. So how are you? Did you survive the week off? Did you get to do anything fun?
As a matter of fact, the past 2 years working for NASCAR.com, the off weekends have kind of snuck up on me and I didn't realize it. And so on Twitter, I'm seeing all these drivers going off to the Bahamas or somewhere nice. And I'm like, well, damn, I didn't realize that this was the off weekend. So this year, my wife and I had a while back, we planned a trip to our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. I'm kind of a history nerd, and she likes cherry blossoms. So it was a perfect time to go and just
see the
nation's capital before it gets burned down completely. it was a tremendous 3 days, perfect weather, you know, just seeing all the monuments, the memorials. I gave the middle finger to the IRS building. I put that on Snapchat. People seem to think I'm going to get audited next year doing that. And I'm like, let me explain something to you. Okay. Before I took that Snapchat of me putting a middle finger in the direction of the IRS building, I have to explain something to you. There was a line behind me of people doing the same thing. Okay. It was from this point on, your wait will be 20 minutes kind of thing.
I was just going to say, so like I took the envelope that I mailed my taxes in and I cut it out in the shape of a middle finger. So and sent it
perfect.
In. So yes. My sentiments exactly. So hey, I guess we should probably talk about some racing.
Some racing, yeah. We got some racing coming up this week.
It's been a crazy year for NASCAR. I mean, what's a lot of changes.
What are your thoughts on the stages? Seven races in there, sir.
The stages, I'm a fan of them because I have what is known as a small prostate. And so what I like is the built-in restroom breaks. I believe that Cole Pern mentioned this before, you know, where it's instead of like, oh, God, come on, what is there a caution? You know, they're built in now, and it's pretty tremendous. And, yeah, not only that, but we've since seen some good excitement at the ends of stages there. And kind of what I'm looking forward to is the I think as the season goes on and the closer we get to Richmond, the end of the regular season, and drivers are going to be needing or wanting more of those playoff points, I'm assuming that the ends of those stages are going to get even more heated, I think, as time goes on, you know, and a driver's like, okay, I need more playoff points. So I'm going to go balls to the wall here at the end of this particular stage. But, you know, and so I enjoy it. I'm really not against any change or attempting any sort of change. You know, you're who's the PhD right there?
That would
Brandon,
be,
right?
Yes, yeah, yes, Brandon. Sir.
Yes, exactly. You're the smart guy. You know, part of any experiment is trying things that might fail. And that's what I applaud them for doing. You know, we've had the caution clock that went by the wayside. But, you know, they tried double file restarts years ago in the All-Star race, and those are now the norm, and they made things more exciting. So, you know, I'm really for trying anything.
So
that's,
it's funny you mentioned the caution clock. So I had a chance to meet Michael Waltrip not long ago, and if you know Michael, he says, really, the caution clock isn't that much different from the stages. He says. So I told I told NASCAR. He said, you have the right idea. Y'all just gave it a dumb name. And you can hear him saying that,
absolutely,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
What is there anything that you think the aero package needs to be adjusted on or anything like that in terms of the cars? We've seen a lot of awesome mid-pack racing, but, you know, that lead from the first place car to second place car at a place like at Atlanta that we saw, you know, you got a 6-7 second lead there if you're able to get a good restart.
You know, if first and foremost, if it were up to me, I would raise the cars so high off the ground that you could literally drive over a dead deer on the road.
And all God's people said amen. Thank you.
Well, I kid. This is the part where I should remind you that you're asking an aerodynamics question to a guy who got a 2.7 GPA and a journalism degree. So I'm going to leave a lot of the aerodynamics talk to the engineers and the aerodynamicists. Again, I got a journalism degree, man. That's like not having a degree. That's what having a journalism degree is like. So that's about as intelligent a response as I can provide on any aero question.
My wife has a degree in entrepreneurship, and I joke with her that she got a general studies degree with that. So
No. I was thinking, I could sit here and make up a bunch of fake parts on the car.
I'm just curious what you're hearing. What I'm more concerned about now is why is it taking so long to get through tech? And they're missing qualifying
large numbers.
Yeah, I mean, and I get NASCAR's scrutinizing them, and I'm already noticing that the skirts on the side of the cars happen to be accidentally. They just flare out on their own now. So they're always going to push it. But what's going on? Have you heard anything what's going on in tech line?
Boy, I've heard absolutely nothing. I did have to spend a long time in the TSA line leaving Washington. I understand how it can be frustrating. But I believe Jeff Glock, on his website, his eponymous website, wrote a really good column on it where it's a kind of thing where, I know it's a disappointment to not be able to make it on the track, but these guys know what the specs are, through. They should know them. And I mean, I don't really know what else there is to say.
Build a legal car, and we're not having this conversation, right?
theoretically. Now, this goes back to the fact that I am not really well studied. I don't quite know the ins and outs.
I was just curious if you'd heard anything. If you were hearing anything. Here's another topic that we've been talking a lot about is. As the Cup guys driving in Xfinity, what are your thoughts on that?
Let's see here. Has this been discussed on Twitter ever? Issue?
No, I just wanted to know what your thoughts are on it. I don't know. So on our side, it's like Miguel Cabrera going down to play AAA minor league baseball and hitting 17 home runs. Like you should,
I don't, the thing is, it's like, if you want to draw a parallel to that, I guess, if you want to talk about, let's say, Miguel Cabrera or somebody going down to the minor leagues and hitting home runs, maybe it's easier for them to hit home runs, but the days they're playing at the park, they're going to bring in a crap ton more people and or money and, sponsorship, as it were.
Same conversation we've had here. Yep, that's.
Yeah, there's that financial component to it. Personally, I don't mind. I like a good race. And when in the rare occasion where the Xfinity guy does finally beat them, oh, what a glorious victory it is. It's a it's a David over Goliath story that for the ages, isn't it just wonderful? Doesn't it just tug your heartstrings?
It does.
Doesn't it? Just kind of deep in the cockles of your heart. Just, yeah.
Well, the one, you know, like the one thing I look at it as is at Phoenix, you know, it was the first Dash for Cash race without your big cup guys. No, it was like the first time, and I think it was like 11 years that that Kevin Harvick or Kyle Busch didn't run the Phoenix Xfinity race. And that race was a great race. There was a lot of great racing. So I expect that we'll get that again this weekend at Bristol from a competition level. You know, you're spot on in terms of, you know, the financial aspect that it helps bring to the track that weekend and, you know, the series as a whole.
Sponsors to the series.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, if I'm a sponsor, if I go to Joe Gibbs Race or whatever, and Joe Gibbs tells me, look, we're going to put on this car, we're going to have, you know, Matt Tisch or whomever for a few races, but we're going to have Kyle Busch for these. It's like, oh, okay. Well, in that case, I know that all my signage on the car is going to get really good exposure and very likely get in victory lane. So there's a bunch of aspects to it. And I understand how frustrating it is, but, you know, I'm not really high up on the ladder at NASCAR. I don't really have a say in these matters. I'm not sure if that shocks you at all.
Consulted? I'm shocked. Can we get another guest in here, please? No, just kidding.
If there's a totem pole, I'm not on it. I'm buried beneath it somewhere. I'm way down there. So
that's funny.
We
saw a great weekend of racing a couple weeks ago at Martinsville.
Sure.
And I think everyone is kind of using that as a bar to what we can expect at Bristol this weekend. Are we looking too much into that, or should we be able to expect that same quality racing this weekend?
I sure as hell hope so. I know that they were adding the – I forget what it was. Did they chew a bunch of, like, bubble gum and stick it to the lower groove? Is that how they do it?
I think it's Hubba Bubba,
sorry. They get all the interns and they get them some bubble tape and they're like, okay, here's what we're doing. Yeah. Again, I certainly hope so. I think the more angry these guys are after a race with each other, the more I enjoyed it. I'm hoping for a equivalent product and hoping for good weather. More importantly, the forecast looks a little bit iffy,
but it's a little grim.
It's way far off, but the upside is that it's a short track that is incredibly high banked. So with three hair dryers and a ShamWow, you can get that thing dry in 10 minutes. It's good. So
that is the coolest track ever, man.
Oh, absolutely.
You go in there, that is just like a life-changing event just to walk into that place.
You know, I always tell people, and it's a little hard to do because, you know, there's always like, where can you watch with a hot pass? Where can you watch with a hard card and all that? But the first year we went and we had the hot pass, the most fun thing to do, I think, stand in one of the corners between one or two or three and four. I'm not sure if you'd be able to do that. And get right up against that as close to the wall as you can without one of the security people telling you, hey, get out of here. And it's like this IMAX movie happening in front of you. You're just watching cars out of your right eye go right in front of you to the left. And I mean, it's just this mind blowing thing.
Cool.
Yeah. And I think everybody should go.
I agree with that. So my favorite quote about Bristol goes back mm-hmm. to Jeremy Mayfield, I believe, said it. He said racing in Bristol is like racing in a dryer. And when you race when you race in a dryer, you're gonna lose a few socks.
Yes, like, exactly. I've heard that one. I've heard like flying jet fighters in a gymnasium.
I've heard that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I forget who said that. I mean, you know what we need? I guess what this all kind of sort of invokes is that we need more cliches in this sport. We need better folksy cliches. We don't get those anymore, you know. Although, I mean, like I said, fighting jet fighters at a gymnasium—that sounds like something Travis Pastrana would do.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
you know, something really cool.
Well, but, I mean, you know, to talk about cliches, I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but Jeff Gordon mentions our podcast about 500 times every race.
He just doesn't realize
he's doing it.
Watch for lap traffic. Yeah,
I know. I mean, just think how much he'd often it. Just think about how often he would mention you guys if you changed the name of the podcast to "Look at This." You would mention it all the time.
Damn it! That's what we should have named it. Right? Damn.
Yeah. Look at this. Yeah, that's his. That's his little thing. So. Yeah. Yep.
That's too funny.
What are your thoughts? Anything from, you mentioned you're a big fan of change. you mentioned that you like seeing the drivers, you kind of go at it a little bit. What was your take on the whole Kyle Busch incident in terms of no penalties being assessed and then the whole Austin Dillon Xfinity race incident? NASCAR seemed, in my opinion, to drop the ball a little bit in terms of a lack of consistency in handing out penalties and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, everyone's certainly entitled to my opinion. All I have to say is that stuff for me is an absolute treasure trove of golden coins whenever stuff like that happens. So
absolutely.
I'm like, I'm all for it. Absolutely. Go for it, man. Go for it. And I mean, hell, my new goal is to actually be on pit road and like kind of, you know, Zapruder film, like Gluck did the whole another fight, you know, and that's my next goal. That's really my next goal.
I love it. So, I love it.
Yes.
All right. So enough of the softball questions here. What do you think of the Monster Girls?
Monster Girls?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you know what? If only they were as beautiful as my lovely wife. If only.
So she's a listener. She's a listener.
What's that? Yes, she is. Yes, she is. She is absolutely listening. Yeah. No, you know, it's truth be told, you know, I think this point has already been brought up. How many other sporting teams, leagues, sports themselves have cheerleaders that wear less, dancers that wear less, and so on? It's, you know, and I think, you know, if you are used to the Sprint Cup girls, I guess, who are just, you know, presented in the way that Sprint wanted them to be presented, that's their thing. Monster's a different brand with a different approach, and God love them. I enjoy looking at the photo wire every day. I really do.
And people forget, you know, everyone likes to talk about how, they want to go back to the old NASCAR ways in terms of racing, and people were losing their shit when they lost the potential of being able to have a caution-free race now with the stages. You know, back in the day, I'm pretty sure it was bikinis that were on the girls, the trophy girls each race.
Oh, yes.
You know, you even got a kiss. Got a kiss from them.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, and I mean, I'm sure some people would, some drivers would absolutely love that. You know, I mean, for the love of God, you're like, you know, this could be Ryan Reed's only chance to be kissed by a girl ever. and so he's like, hey, you know, how about we bring that back? You know, it's all, you know, and it's funny. I mean, you mentioned the old days, and everyone, you know, bring back the old days. Yeah, there's aspects of the old days that weren't that great either. It's like, fine, you want the old days? Fine. You want to get a win by 12 lap lead? That's cool. That's great. You know, it's always the old days of history or whatever. It's rightfully revered, but it's also romanticized, I think, a little bit too much.
Absolutely. That's that. So, that's a good I like that there.
Yeah.
That's that journalism degree paying off right there. That's awesome.
That's right. I use what is that? 5 syllables?
Yes.
Four. Damn it.
Okay. Money in the bank right there, buddy. Money in the bank.
So, that's right. I use that. That's a Nate Ryan word.
So we were talking, you know, before we came online. So I'm my background was a lot of road racing stuff. So and I, you know, like the Watkins Glen races, and I think you mentioned you might be at Sonoma. What do you think about putting in a road course in the playoffs?
I love road course racing, and I'm I would be completely for that. And again, like, you know, when we're talking about change here, I'm if they want to ever switch the schedule up, I would be 100% behind that.
Amen. Thank you.
I think
gone on tangents about that.
And it's really funny how, do you remember not that long ago how road courses would roll up and you'd be kind of just like, boy, okay, you know, it's like, this Sunday I might go jog or something because it's Sonoma Watkins Glen. And I can't pinpoint when exactly it was. But suddenly there's just been this renaissance where, oh, God, it's Watkins Glen. They're going to beat the shit out of each other this weekend. You know, it's exciting. Well, and I think it's – yeah, go ahead.
No,
I'm sorry.
I said I think what happened there – so I was in there like in the 90s. I was running – I was actually crew chief on a Trans Am car, and we ran on Saturday, and NASCAR ran on Sunday. Well, I think what it is a lot of these guys learned how to road race. You know, and because that's what would happen is they would take a bunch of guys out of our pits, put them in their car – you know, you say you had the road course ringers. Well, there's no road course ringers anymore. These guys have learned how to road race now. And I think that was that was the big thing. And they know how to set up cars. I mean, I remember I got pulled out of the, you know, from our crew. A friend of a friend came, and I went up and I helped set up Chad Little's car when he was running the John Deere Ford, because they just didn't know how to even set up a car for road racing, let alone drive the car. So when you can throw a Borisette or somebody in the seat and can really tell you how to adjust the car and do it, but that's those days. I think those days are gone, and I think it really levels the playing field for some of these guys. The aero packages don't come in as into play quite as much. I'm all for it, but
part of the beauty of it is this big, heavy, bulky stock car. It doesn't really belong on it, does it?
No,
you know, it's heavy. It gets overwhelming to control. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's a better show for us. And like you said,
overweighted and under tired.
Damn right. And the fact, like you said, these guys are just so much better at it and so much more skilled at it on the Monster Energy level. And I still, to a degree, I know that the Xfinity Series runs more road course races, what with Mid Ohio, Road America, and so on. And there, I like that the whole ringer aspect is still maybe a little bit alive, because that's where you see more, you know, guys like a Justin Marks or an Alex Tagliani. Or an Andy Lally who show up and actually, you know, out of nowhere, put on a really, really good show and almost pull off the win.
Yes.
You know, and Justin Marks actually did. So, like I said, I like that there is kind of sort of the aspect of the ringer that still lives in the Xfinity Series like that. Because, you know, I enjoy these one-off dudes. You know, like Andy Lally is just one of my favorite dudes in the world. He's hilarious.
He is a really cool guy. Yeah.
He is absolutely hilarious. And, yeah, I'd love to see more. And I know that I think it was last year where James Hinchcliffe was talking about, boy, you know, let's get me in an Xfinity car at Watkins Glen or Mid-Ohio. Yeah, boy, I would love to see that, you know, just – you know, why not? And it's cool to see, you know, interest from all these other disciplines and so on.
Yeah, I think so, too. So on the road course stuff, you are you're an Indy native.
Yes.
Indy's doing a lot of cool and creative things, different things. And now one of them I think they're talking about bringing over to NASCAR is the softer tire compound.
Yes.
What do you think about
absolutely.
That?
Hey, it goes back to the change thing. Try it and absolutely see if it works.
Yeah,
I'm 100% for it. I'm 100% now. I just want to know, like, how soft are we talking? Are we talking? I mean, actually, you know what? They should just bring one tire that is built to explode. Just built to explode, and don't tell the teams which one it is.
Yeah,
and you know, it's like you'll get. Let's say maybe if a race requires, let's say, 10 sets of tires, well, you'll be given 12 sets of tires. You have to guess and hope. It'll be kind of like a Russian roulette thing, you know? That's how soft I would make them, you know? Absolutely. As we've seen, especially with Atlanta, when they wear, the racing just gets so much better and so much more exciting when they're just fighting to keep these things on the track, you know? And that's why, good Lord, that's why if Fontana ever even utters the word repave, I will just throw myself on the pavement in turn three and never leave. I love it. It's like a cheese grater to a sponge, man.
Yeah.
It just eats them up like that. It's just absolutely terrific.
So again, with my crew chief hat on, I like the strategy part of it. When do I want to use these? You know?
Yeah.
I honestly, like in the IndyCar, like I like to push to pass thing that you can only use so many times during a race. And I mean, there's stuff like that, that, you know, it adds another level of strategy in there. So I thought that was pretty cool. So, but Brandon, we had a question that we were supposed to ask you from a listener.
Yeah. You may have heard of this name, Ashley Stang.
Ashley. Yeah. She's interesting. She's kind of like, you know, you read her stuff on Twitter and it's like, they have definitely not removed the lead paint from that house.
Something tells me when she listens to this that this is going to start a Twitter battle, which I know you've been in a few of those once or twice. So.
Sure. Yeah, but, you know, I've learned.
Ashley sends some interesting questions over to our friends at the PETM podcast, and when she heard you were going to be on, she sent us one over. She wants to know, what's the longest you've had to hold it at a race, and why did you have to hold it so long?
The longest I've had to hold it at a race. Oh my God, she's ill. She is so ill. I'd like to say that as a show of solidarity and to be one with the drivers, you never hold it, man. You just go in your suit. That's right. That's what you do. That's Love what it. You do. You just go in your suit.
Love it.
You know, that's how you show dedication right there. I'm not, you know, because if you're standing on, you know, standing on pit road or in the seats or whatever, and it's the final restart, you know, I'm not going to miss the final restart. Screw that. Yeah. You know, sorry, guy in front of me. Yeah. Yeah, you know, just let go right there. You know, it's the unspoken truth of NASCAR. If these guys can go in their fire suits, and damn it, so can I. Even though they're cargo shorts.
Love it.
Yeah.
You got an early pick for Bristol, sir?
Early pick for Bristol. You know what I like to do? I like to pick the driver who I think will look the goofiest holding a giant gladiator sword. So, boy, oh boy! I'm gonna go with Larson again. I just love the hell out of that kid, and I think he has kind of emerged as the rising star, the future. He is just balls out. High line crazy on the track, and so California cool off of it. He's this interesting dichotomy. Yeah, so
we saw him win a truck race at Eldora.
Yes.
Last year we were there. Talk about riding up high, and it was incredible.
It was tremendous. I think it was last year, the first year you guys went to Eldora?
Yes.
For the truck race?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Two years prior, he was running for, I forget who it was then. It might have been H. Scott at the time. But he was running a truck for them, and he was doing the same thing where he was pulling these slide jobs where if there was not an outer wall, he would have wound up in Lake Erie. I kid you not. It was awesome. And he wasn't quite able to pull it off. And I forget who won that year, if it was Bubba or Christopher Bell. Again, I'm not good with numbers. You're good with numbers, Mr. PhD. I'm not. Yeah. But what
it
am
ain't
I?
Math.
It's dates. It's whatever. It's if there's numbers involved, I'll leave it to the PhD.
I agree. See.
Yeah, but one of my favorite. My souvenirs that I have here in the man cave actually is from that race 2 years ago at Eldora, where after the race, we were out just kind of walking the track, and right by the start finish line, I found a piece of Kyle Larson's cracked brake rotor just sitting right there. I was like, oh my God. And you know, you look around, you're like, can I take this? But I'm like, well, it's on the track. I guess it's fair game. And I texted somebody who I knew at A. Scott. I was like, do you guys need this back? They're like, no. I'm like, okay then, cool, alrighty, okay. Cool. So we got a cracked Kyle Larson rotor. Again, it's, you know, I always tell people for better or for worse, he will do things that are awesome that will either get him the victory or completely take it away. But regardless, he puts on the best show on track. I
agree. But Christopher Bell isn't so bad at that stuff either.
No.
One of the things we noticed when we were there, obviously when they're under caution and they all slow down and everything, like every truck there looked like you just dragged it out of a junkyard, except Matt Crafton. Oh. Matt Crafton's truck looked like they just finished detailing it. He was running low, stayed away from the wall, stayed away from I think he finished fifth or something, and just, you know, I'm like, well, that was an interesting way of going about that, but yeah.
It was that's another fun thing to do at Eldora. The dudes who run down low right there. Is that the huggy pole? Is that what they call that?
I think
The low line around the dirt track? Okay, I'm just getting my vernacular down. Woo! I nailed it. But if you're watching from the infield, you know, at Eldora, you can put your nose against that chain link fence. And, you know, these cars that are running the low line, like, you can make eye contact with them. Like, I saw the whites of Matt Crafton's eyes as he was just going by. Yeah. And, that's another one, along with Bristol. I tell people, for the love of God, go to this truck race at Eldora. They do such an amazing job there with it. They, you know, it's a NASCAR event that 100% to me, it feels like your short track Saturday night. You know, these drivers, they got the practices and everything, but, you know, I think last year they ran the big blocks.
I was just about to ask you if you were there Tuesday night for the big blocks. I fell in love with the big blocks, man. Those things were awesome. Just
behemoths, just these beasts. Giant motorized beach whales. Just, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yep. God, it was wonderful. And, you know, they... $2 beers. You can't go wrong with $2 beers
right?
there.
Yeah, I've mentioned that yeah. on this yeah. show before.
Yep. yeah, we'll be back in July.
We're gonna be actually broadcasting from there. We're gonna do a show.
Perfect.
From there,
now that is where I will find you guys right there because there's a
done deal.
There's no way in hell. That's that's the one. One of the events where it's brand new. It's still in its infancy and. In my lifetime, I can be like, I can be somebody who has never missed the truck race at Eldora. So
there you go.
That is absolutely my plan. And it's one of my other favorite things to do there is if you're in the infield, seeing Tony Stewart, the track owner, is just this heartwarming thing because you can tell he is just having an absolute blast out there.
Oh, yeah. Right, just riding around in his tractor and having a hell of a time.
We've had hot passes at MIS and it's a much different Tony Stewart from the driver to the
You bet it is, man. Just rolling around on his little four wheeler there. He's he's pointing. He's telling the water truck where to spray. He's getting the security guys water. He's just having an absolute blast. So that's another tremendous thing to do. And of course, the hot cheese balls are just tremendous.
Oh, I had the pizza burger. That thing was.
Mm. So I'm easy to find there. I'm either going to be in our pit or in our camping spot, or I'm going to be in the line for the $2 beer. So I get there and it was like $2. I'm like, I'm used to going to a baseball game here. They're $9.25. I'm like $2.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, $2. I go, hey, dude, here's $100. I'll be back. Okay, just keep it exactly. open. Are you kidding me? So
and it's funny that the thing you mentioned about the like the baseball games and all that is I'm unfortunately a Cubs fan and I'm not really a big fan of spending $26 for an old style anymore. So I hit maybe one game a year, but that's the big I think one of the big things that people who might not have ever been to a race know. You can bring your own shit into the into
absolutely.
The track.
MIS still lets you bring it. Yeah. Yeah.
People, concession prices. It's like, well, they don't have to be. You can pack your own stuff, you know? So.
Oh, $2. I ain't even bother carrying it.
No.
Shit, no, whatever, I know. Man. I mean, it's cheaper than a Sixer, man. It really is. Yeah. So,
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to thank you so much for joining us, sir. That's all we got. We really appreciate that.
It's absolutely no problem at all. Like so, I said, with this, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say before we got to mention the Peeps 400.
Oh, that's right. Tell us about the Peeps 400.
Yes. Oh yes, the granddaddy of them all. Yes. Last year, kind of sort of had this idea. I hallucinate a lot. I spend most of my day. It's like 50% hallucinating and then 50% creating content for NASCAR.com.
Love it.
It's a wonderful existence. It really is. But with the absence of any on-track activity, we've created what has been described as like the granddaddy of marshmallow explosion racing. It's very, very, very popular. What we do is every Easter weekend when we're off, take the 16 cars. Take the 16 cars that were in the playoffs last year, and then you take 16 peeps and you write the car number on each car number on a peep, and you put it in the microwave.
And guys, if you haven't seen this before, this is hysterical video.
The commentating is the best part.
Yeah.
Well, it's very tense, and. As it grows exponentially in popularity year by year, I'm thinking of bringing more dignitaries in. We'll see what we can pull off. But the excitement is in you put them in the microwave for 5 minutes, and whatever peep is the most intact after 5 minutes is declared the winner. Now, it's unfortunate. Like peeps don't actually like explode. They kind of blow up. They kind of like get really, 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 really big, and then they just kind of deflate into nothingness. The lead singer of Blues Traveler did. that guy. It's kind of the same thing. And so we judge based on, like I said, how intact they look. And this year, I don't want to give it away for anybody. You can go to NASCAR.com and find the Inside Groove page and just watch for yourself. It was a very exciting thrill a minute, wire to wire. Just, oh, God, man, my Tell you what, I'm getting clammy just thinking about it.
Well, I know I enjoyed watching it. I won't give away what happened at the end there because it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, well, don't. Like, people might have DVR'd it. So, yeah.
But I will say, so the same thing that I tweeted to you when I watched it, number one, thank you very much for being on our show. And number two, I am so happy I don't have to clean your microwave. So.
You know what? I very much appreciate it. It's absolutely no problem anytime. And again, just a shout out to everybody in the motorsports podcasting community. There's just there's so much good stuff out there, and it's so cool to see so many people doing it. Thank you very much for having it on. I think I might have like one little coagulated mess of sugar and marshmallow in there that I might just have to scalpel off here.
All righty, man. Well, enjoy Bristol this weekend, and we'll talk with you soon.
We'll see you at Eldora.
Great. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Right, absolutely. Thanks. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, bye.
Man, how about that? That was a great interview.
That was a lot of fun. He's a very cool dude.
He is very cool. And you definitely have to look. You have to go to NASCAR.com and watch the Peeps 400.
Absolutely. That was a lot of fun. I remember him doing that last year. But yeah, no, it's fun. We could get Maria to clean it up if you needed to.
Oh,
you know?
Maria. We never even thought of offering. No. You know,
I almost said that, but then I was like, that's going to lead into a 15-minute discussion and explanation as to why we call her Maria, and we already took up quite a bit of his time. So,
and we love Maria.
Yeah, we do love Maria.
She's ours.
Yes. So, yes. Oh, and by the way, speaking of Maria, thank you to everybody that tweeted me and NASCAR by Marriage over the weekend asking about her surgery and all that. Everything went very well, and she's hobbling along just nicely.
Mend.
Yes, she is on the mend.
Right.
She can't drink or anything, so that's. It's a bummer, yeah. But, you know, those pain pills, I'm sure that's doing something too. So. But, yeah, so I thank you, and she thanks you. And one of these days we might put her on here for 5 minutes until she starts talking too much. And
that
then
would
we'll,
be hysterical,
actually. That'd be funny. That'd be funny. That crossed my mind the other day.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Damn, it only took you, what, 18 episodes to come up with a good idea? How about that? It's bound to happen sooner or later,
you know,
I guess.
You know. The degrees are going to pay off one way or another, right?
I'm just kidding.
But no, that was a lot of fun, and something tells me he'll probably be back on at some point in time.
Yeah, way cool. So speaking of social media...
Social media.
Want to hit it up?
Yeah, all right. Make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Tony, we're really close to giving away that Martin Truex Jr. autograph.
We're 9-something.
Yeah, we're over the 900 mark. I think we need like 80, 85 more followers to go, and we'll be giving away that 8x10 autograph of Martin Truex Jr.
And then we'll have to come up with a new contest.
We'll have to come up with a new one. Tony, the logos are... almost in its final stages, like
so
it's
close.
There, like I'm really excited, like I wish it was done, but we're gonna have to like come up with like a really cool debuting thing or something.
And then, you know, and then there will be stickers, t-shirts,
absolutely,
koozies,
yes, we've been getting some
aspects,
yes,
so.
The stuff is to come, like I said, and I think we mentioned a show
we have
or two
actual
ago
movement.
Well, there is movement, but we, you know, we didn't want to get too in over our heads. You know, we didn't know where it was going to go. And, you know, this is,
it's been a learning process.
It's been
for
a learning process. We haven't had too many hiccups aside from a spillage and a sippy cup requirement installed into the man cave.
Oh,
but
just that,
you know, details. But anyways, so, thanks for being patient with us, and, that stuff is coming very soon, promise you.
Do some shout outs?
Yes, shout outs. Some new Facebook followers, Daryl Bunn, a big Dale Jr. fan from King, North Carolina. Michael Harvey, he calls himself a fan of the underdog from Matthews, North Carolina.
I like that.
And, you're going to recognize this name. Eric Zalen there, Tony.
Easy.
Very good friend of mine since sixth grade. Dumbass didn't realize he never liked the actual page when I sent it to him. So he's a new page follower on Facebook.
Well, welcome to the show, Mr. Zalen. He's been in the studio, but he didn't like. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Twitter.
I think he actually holds a record on this show.
Most beers drank during a recording.
So he holds the record right now.
I mean, I don't drink beer. You don't drink them during the show too often, even though you got one cracked right now. The only one that can give him a run for his money is Steve. So yeah. We might need to get the two of them down here as a show contest and see, and we can keep a running tally throughout the show.
That's actually,
two ideas in 30 minutes or 30 seconds.
Up.
There you go. All right, Twitter, some new followers. Norm, at AceNorm7368. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. Tia, at VA_girl48. Big Jimmy Johnson fan there, obviously. And David, at DavidWT47, big Dinger fan. And Trevor, at T_Grasso, who is a contributor to the Beyond the Flag website. And we've quoted some articles from there once or twice.
Like
thanks for the follow, guys. Let us know what you think of the show, and make sure to tell your friends. Make sure you check us out on iTunes or Podbean. Tony, I haven't looked at like the analytics of our show much lately, but we've had over 50 downloads in every state minimum. So someone from every state has listened to our show, which I think that's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Someone in Alaska has listened to our show, which I think is sweet.
In several countries.
Oh, yeah, countries.
Like
eight
different countries.
Yeah, we've got people that have listened in some foreign countries than some of the isolated states like Alaska, for example. But I thought that was pretty cool that all 50 states, we've been heard across the nation. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Nationwide, baby.
Let's see here. Progress on the logo. We already talked about that. You got
dog.
Any fan mail you want to send us? The Lap Traffic Podcast, P.O. Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan 48072. Oh, yeah, Lucky Dog. That's a segment we want to roll in here
somehow.
Yeah, we've
just been kind of rolling that idea around here. If you got any ideas what we should do there on the Lucky Dog, we're thinking we're Lap Traffic.
Yes.
And what comes after Lap Traffic is that's the first
dog.
Guy coming off the lap.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. And just a reminder, if you're in our fantasy league, I hope you enjoyed your off week. Make sure you get your picks in.
Yeah.
I sent out an email yesterday. So make sure you email me or tweet me your picks. Let's see. Tony, you're still hanging out there in third place.
Yeah, man.
Cody, man, he's got a 15-point lead.
Hopefully he's on a deserted island.
Yeah.
For a couple weeks,
maybe he'll forget to get that Bristol ticket. And I'm not in last, so progress is being made. So that's it. That's all I got for social media. Tony, you ready to go to work, sir?
I am ready to go to work.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief, Tony Smith. All right. Welcome to the 7th edition of the Crew Chief Corner with Crew Chief Tony Smith. If anyone has a question for Tony, use his new Twitter account at Crew Chief Tony or use the hashtag Ask Crew Chief Tony. Tony, you got an absurd amount of questions that came in like
a
5-minute time span.
We had to sort them.
We did. Yes. Yeah. So we are a fan-based podcast. So what the fans want, we will give.
So I have a question, though. So at what point does my Twitter handle not be new anymore?
Once you hit over 100 followers, sir.
Okay.
That's
Am I on
boom.
That?
You like how I had just
Man,
right
you,
off the tongue, baby.
No, because it's like, kind of like that answer, like when somebody has a kid, like, oh, you know, he's 37 and a half months.
Yeah, at what point is he three?
No, he's three. Right. You know, so I was just wondering.
Yeah,
I was just wondering. Okay, so I got
crack
my
that
answer.
You got to crack that century mark there.
I got the answer.
Yep.
How
so
about that?
If you want Tony's account not to be new anymore, make sure you follow him.
I'm okay with it being new.
Never,
I just was curious.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So the first question comes to us from our buddy Sherwin at Pregame ENG from the PETM podcast. I can talk. Sherwin wants to know, Tony, what is easier to solve the problem of giving a short run driver long run speed or a long run driver short run speed?
Fantastic question, it's Sherwin.
Pretty good.
Dude, it's way above.
Brother brought the A game on
that
one.
Yeah, he did, you know, and I went to public school, so it took me a second. I had to read that a couple times. No, but honestly, it's a great
and
question.
And Florida State.
Yeah, right. Well, how'd that Florida State-Michigan game turn out?
Yeah, how'd whatever.
What's that, the Orange Bowl?
Yeah.
Say we won that? Yeah, okay. Anyways.
I
digress. So the question, what's easier to solve? Giving a short-run driver long-run speed, or long-run driver, short-run speed. The answer there, I had to put some thought into this. The answer is it's easier to give a short-run driver long-run speed than giving a long-run driver short speed, because you either have speed or you don't have speed, and you want those guys that are quick, fast. I mean, there are guys that I know I want that guy in my car to qualify it. He's not a good racer. There's guys that can just rip off fast laps. And those guys are out there and they're running. But, you know, you can do is you can give that guy a car that's more drivable, you know, and make it long term. You can't, if you have a long run driver, you can't make him faster, right? You can't, I mean, you just can't do it. So I don't care how you set that car up. I mean, you're not going to get that, you know, that big of a change. So fantastic question. But I am going with, if I got to set up the car, I want a short run driver, and I'll figure out how to get him long term speed.
Okay. So I got a follow up to that based on your answer. Is, what part of the track length plays a role in that, in turn, or does it not at all? Like, does a short track make a difference?
Well, a short track would make a difference for sure. Yeah, because he's obviously a short, you know, if he's a short run guy, you know, he likes blasts of speed,
right?
You know, and that's where that would play right into the wheelhouse of a short track kind of guy.
All right, cool. Yeah. All right,
great question.
Question number two comes from our buddy Kenny at USMC Kenny SGT. If you could go to any team and see what goes on other than the shop, where would you go and why?
I would go directly to the chassis shop. I want to see the chassis. I want to see the configuration of the chassis. I want to see more than anything. I want to see the suspension mounting points. That's what I really want to see. How they set it up, why they set it up that way. That's something that I tried to sneak a peek at every race I was ever at, and I would make up reasons to walk over and say hi to somebody, or, you know, ask them if they had a part that I already had.
What's that going to do on the track, or, you know, what advantage is that going to?
Well, so it's the suspension geometry and the geometry of the chassis. Like, how are they wired? Why did they run the bar that way? Why did they? If you ever look at, man, you know, so like especially in road racing, the chassis are different. Look up sometime, like Roush was really good at this in the 90s. The configuration, Penske's really good at it now. The configuration of the roll cages that come in like right next to the driver, right over his right shoulder, where everything comes in, the angles of all those tubes are brought in at an exact angle for a reason. For the rigidity, for the sway, they want it to twist, they don't want it to twist in that spot, and everything, it is such an exact science that it's crazy. But I really want to see their suspension, how it's set up, because that tells me how they're gonna set up the rest of the car, what they got it set up. So that's gonna help me a lot. But I'd walk over and I'd say, hey Bob, you know, hey, do you have an extra, whatever, make up some trivial thing to go over. And while he's rooting through his toolbox, I'm looking at
taking
their
a
car.
Peek.
I'm totally looking at their car. I totally
nice.
Was
nice.
So yeah, I'm going to the chassis shop.
Very cool. Next question comes to us from Bearded Beer Guy at Pabst_beer_8. Tony, how much air should tires have for a Ford F-150 on a 90-degree day?
So you saved the most technical question for last.
Almost.
So a 90-degree day on an Ford F-150. Well, it definitely depends on the aero package. I mean, do you have the short cab, the long cab? I mean, what are you running that day? You know, the long box, four-wheel drive. I mean, that's really depends on how the crew chief's going to set it up. And it really, what it comes down to, too, is the AC on or off. And, of course, it's going to be on a 90-degree day, I'm guessing it is. But really, here's what, and this is getting down to the technical stuff, but is it over 70 degrees? On, you know, in the AC or not. I'm personally a sub-70 degree guy.
All right.
So that's how I'm setting it up, and I'm going with 278 pounds.
All
exactly.
Right. Wow.
So
not the weight of the girl sitting next. No, just kidding.
No, that's a great question.
All right, Tony. Our last question is a two-parter from
we have one more.
Yes,
okay.
We do. From our friend Hugh at Bucky515. Tony, Hugh needs some convincing, and he would like you to convince him why it will be good for points in 2018 or points races in 2018 to have two tire choices during a race. Won't that just widen the gap between teams and spend more on engineers and software simulation versus the middle to lower budget teams? Sub note, he is not a fan of the soft, hard rule of Indy.
And that's, you know, and there's people out there that don't like it. And I think it's actually one of those things where either you like it or you don't. But here's, I don't know that it'll make a big difference in the haves and the have-nots. But here's where I like it, especially from a crew chief perspective. It gives me, that's one more thing to think about in our race strategy. You know, do we stay out? Did we pit early so that we got better track position? And then I'm going to put those soft tires on to stay out front so you don't get run over by the guys that, you know, have fresher tires. To me, it adds another level of strategy, and I like it. It might be terrible, you know, but I think let's try it.
I think it might actually help the have-nots a little bit in terms of, hey, all right, we know we're not going to win the race, but if we could set ourselves up to win a stage and get a little more recognition, that might help sponsorship, that might help make us maybe into the mediocre haves versus being a have-not kind of thing, if I can play into that kind of strategy.
That's what I'm saying. So we're already running in 20th or 25th. You know, let's pit a couple laps early,
yep.
Put these on, we'll get better track position.
Yeah,
everybody comes in. Now I have the softer tires. Now I'm going to be harder to pass.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so yeah. I don't know. What the hell? Let's give it a try.
Right, right.
You know, that's, put some gas in.
That was NASCAR chasm's theory. Hey, what the hell? Let's give it a roll.
Yeah.
His second follow up to that is once again at Bristol, which is crazy to think we're going to Bristol and we're not going to have a full field. Does NASCAR, in your opinion, need to tweak the payouts for Cup in 2018 to maybe make it a little bit more worthwhile to maybe get some more fuller fields or, you know, to have a complete field?
Yeah, and I did see this one before. I didn't see the other one. I don't know. I don't want to see starting park guys.
Right.
And whether they make 60,000 or 100,000 or, you know, they raise it, you know, from 60 to 100 or whatever, I don't know that it's really going to make a difference. I want to see guys out there that are going to run.
Yeah.
You know, there's no constitutional amendment that says we have to have 43 cars or 40 or even 35, you know.
Well, I agree. And
I want competitive cars.
Sure. Well, and I guess if I'm a someone that's looking at this, well, a few years ago, we were running 43 cars, and had them full. And towards the end, maybe there were a couple races throughout the year where we had 42 or 41. So then NASCAR comes out with the charter. We drop it down to 40. Okay, so we cut it by three. And now we're still having a hard time running 38, 30, 39. I guess my thought is how does it look does the number of cars in the field and the fact that it's not a full field, is that in any way a negative on the sport in terms of its strength,
I don't know. I mean, because you could have 43 cars, but there's only 35 of them are competitive. So
sure.
What is full field?
I get you. No,
what is a full field?
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's a term that we kind of made
strictly
up.
Numbers, or right. Is it on the actual competitiveness
exactly.
Of the cars?
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, whether, you know, they make 60,000 for last place, you make it 100,000. Is that going to change anything?
No. A couple sets of tires.
Right. I mean, if they get 300,000, they're still not going to be that competitive compared to a $15 million team.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, they're not going to be able to pay another engineer
right.
On that
so now,
kind of thing.
Do I want to get it down to like Formula One numbers of 19 cars or something? No, I don't. Of course,
no.
I don't want that.
No.
But I, you know, it's not like I'm trying to keep people out. Right?
Sure.
I want to see competitive guys.
Yeah.
You know, I hate looking up and seeing, you know, whatever, Jeffrey Earnhardt 17 laps down. Well, that's, you know, that doesn't do anything for me.
Sure.
You know, so that's my two cents.
Word. But, all right.
Thanks for the question, Hugh. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Bud. Thank you, everyone, for the questions. Keep them coming to Tony. That will do it for this week's segment of the Crew Chief Corner. Tony, on to what's become a little staple here on the show is my odds segment, sir.
I like it, too.
And I'm getting better at it. I think this is third weekend where I've actually put effort into doing it. So Last week, we talked about our Texas odds, and I actually hit a couple of them spot on. So here are my odds for Bristol. Tony, I am putting Joey Logano as the favorite at plus 500 to win the race.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I think this could be a very potentially breakthrough race for Matt Kenseth. So I am putting him as my second favorite at plus 700. I am putting Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski at plus 750. And I'm putting our August Bristol winner, Kevin Harvick, at plus 1,000. And I got a dark horse pick in here, Tony, and let me explain why I have this dark horse pick. A buddy of mine who is in a fantasy league, that it's a pretty cool league, and I have yet to be invited in, and I'm not sure why. Not that I pay attention to stuff.
No.
It's a snake pick league. So however, if you picked Jimmy Johnson last week out of the 25 guys that are in this league, you pick last this week, and it's all based on where your driver finishes as to where you pick next week. So there's
like
no
it.
Cap on how many times you can use a driver. If you pick Kevin Harvick this week and he falls into where you want to pick him next week and he's still on the board,
yeah,
you can pick him.
I like it.
So he was picking like 18th or 19th, and he sends me all the guys that have been taken off the board already. He's like, dude, who would you pick for Bristol this weekend? And guess who wasn't taken? And it shocked me, was Blaney. Huh. And I looked at, I'm like,
that
well,
guy's
this
running hard.
He's running hard. He was on a mission in Martinsville. He finished in the top 10 in both two stages of Martinsville, and then got caught up in one of the, you know, the casualties that ended up being the big one there at Martinsville. So he's my dark horse, and he may not even be a dark horse, but
he ain't that dark.
He made my odds, and I'm putting him at plus 1,500 for Bristol.
That. I'd do that.
Tony, I'm going to challenge myself here. Give me any random driver to set the odd, and let's see how I can do on that.
Anyone
I didn't list. Any driver in the field.
What about old seven-time?
Old seven-time. I like that. All right, I'm going to put Jimmy Johnson at plus 850.
Oh, okay.
That's where we're putting Jimmy Johnson.
All right.
All right. And real quick, I just thought this was interesting just because we didn't have a whole lot to talk about this week with it being the off week and all that.
What are you talking? We had the Peeps 400.
We did have the Peeps 400. So real quick, just to talk about odds here a little bit. Before the season, before the drop of the green flag at the Daytona 500, the odds on favorite to win the championship this year was Kevin Harvick at plus 650. Jimmy Johnson was plus 700. Joey Logano was plus 850. And two of the interesting ones that were on there before was Chase Elliott was plus 1,200. And Kyle Larson was plus 2,200.
I'll bet they're doing better now.
You ready
for
this?
That's changed.
Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Kyle Larson are all tied as the favorite currently for the championship at plus 700. And Chase Elliott is plus 800. When you have that many drivers with the same odd as a favorite,
it means they don't know.
They don't have a clue. They can't, you know. And I've said this before, like when I'm picking my DraftKings lineup, I'm not going back to my notebook. My notebook's gone out the window because of this new Aero package. Everything's changing. So I'm literally going to be putting my eggs in one basket for my lineup this week based on Martinsville. My Easter eggs. Yes. So that's my odds for this week there, guys. We'll see how I do.
Who's your fantasy pick?
Ooh, my fantasy pick. Wow. Duh. I forgot all about that. You know what? I'm going to take Ryan Blaney.
All right.
Yeah, I'm taking Blaney. Who you got there, sir?
I'm going for the win.
Whoa. For the win. I like that.
Kevin Harvick.
I'll tell you, I like that. I like it.
Yeah. I figured you might like that
I like that. If I take it, I'm a homer. But if you take him, he might have a real shot.
See there?
It's kind of like if I were to take Brad Keselowski.
Right, yeah. That's all right.
Yeah.
Want to hit social media one more time?
Yes, sir. Make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. There's new pictures up there. There's some new updates, and we'll keep that going. And fantasy updates will be up there on Sunday after the race. Check us out on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. iTunes, Podbean, The Lap Traffic Podcast. And make sure you tell everyone to follow us. Yeah, check us out.
Absolutely. So next week we will break down Bristol, obviously. That should be – I'm really looking forward to that race.
I can't wait.
We'll have fantasy updates. Hopefully we'll have an update. Landon Castle is scheduled to be on the show real soon.
Hopefully,
we haven't just nailed down the exact date time for all that.
Yes.
But we have been in touch with them. So they're definitely going to be on the show.
Yes.
So,
big thank you to NASCAR Chasm.
Oh, man. What a great, super good guy. Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
So appreciate that. So, hey, that's going to wrap up our show for today. Thanks again for listening. Remember to listen every week. Otherwise, you will be back to traffic. Talk to you next week.
See ya.